You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Back with you after a rare week off last Saturday, in which we rebroadcasted some of my personal selections, interviews conducted on this award-winning talk show with Pat Buchanan, Gary Sinise, and Ray Stevens. And, you know, it was good listening to that show last week, not just because it was an all-star lineup of guests, and it was good to hear Bill Rowland again. Now, Bill Rowland had come in during one of those hours in the second half hour after one of those celebrity interviews was conducted, and it was just great to hear Bill. You know, it just seems surreal still that he is no longer with us, but the effects of his work and the impact he has had on my life and the lives of many, and certainly the development and cultivation of this radio show continued to be felt. And we certainly miss Bill for a lot of reasons. He was our brother, and we are a family. And another member of that family has joined us right now via telephone to co-host with me for the second hour. It is none other than the one and only Winston Smith, who too shared that very close and personal relationship with the dearly departed Bill Rowland. Winston, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. And as far as being part of the family, well, I think we're a bit dysfunctional, but, you know, we get by.
Hey, we keep it together, though. I tell you, know, and you look and I think about this. I know you say that in jest, but you know, think about this, folks. You know, the amount of turnover you see in the world, people staying in the same position for a long period of time, more than a couple of years, living in the same house for more than a couple of years, even now in this degenerate society, staying married to the same person for more than a couple of years, that we have kept this show on the air for 10 years is certainly at first a testament to the audience, but it's a testament to the people that helped make me make it happen. And certainly, Winston, you've been here for, I think you've been on the show now for 7 or 8 years as a co-host. Keith Alexander's long in the tooth with me. Eddie Miller, Bill was there from day one. We've been working with Sam Bushman in Liberty News since 2009. So, you know, we're here to stay, and there's something to be said about that continuity. I think it's very special, and it's very rare.
Stephanie says she's here to stay as well.
Well, that's good. And of course, Stephanie is the part of our teammate that helps Winston's contributions to this show be realized, and we're happy to have her tonight transcribing my audio for Winston so he can respond verbally. And with that being said, let's get down to it. Winston, I sent you a list of the stories I had intended to cover this hour. Free beer for Latino heritage. Maybe you saw this, folks, maybe you didn't, but earlier this year, and we have a video for this is a video you really need to watch. Again, there's some things I can tell you about, some things you just need to see to get the proper emotional response. But earlier this year, Budweiser sponsored the rollout of the film Cesar Chavez. And I'm not making this up. And they decided to reward Hispanic or Latino or whatever they call themselves, you know, non-American people, people that don't speak English as their primary language. They decided to reward those people here in the United States, reward those people who did not speak English at one showing for their special Latino heritage with a free beer. And basically what happens was in the previews for the movie, they had this advertisement that would play, and only the audience members who understood Spanish would be able to get a free Budweiser. And apparently this makes for good advertising because this is like a national commercial that they put out. And if you watch this video, this commercial, you know, we're all supposed to laugh at the stupid white Americans for sitting there in ignorance while the Hispanics have all the fun outside. And it appears, Winston, that Budweiser knows where the demographics are heading in this country, knows that whites aren't the future. And this just makes for great corporate advertising as far as they're concerned. And folks, again, what was going on was they had a ad before the film Cesar Chavez. And first of all, why would any white person want to go to a movie like that anyway? But they had this ad and it was in Spanish, and it said, if you understand this commercial, if you understand what I'm saying, go to the lobby and get a free beer. And of course, all of the, you know, people who spoke Spanish, obviously most people that weren't Americans, went, and the stupid white Americans were the butt of the joke. So Winston, you take it away from there.
Well, James, so much for building cultural, building cultural bridges and celebrating diversity, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Budweiser would pull a stunt like this. In 2007, Budweiser paid for billboards that displayed a line in Mexican, that is the Mexican language, which is not Spanish.
I like. Yeah, no, you're right about that. That's a good point.
Stephanie didn't hear that. What did you say?
No, I was just saying that was a good point, Winston. I appreciate you offering that. But keep going.
Anyhow, there's a line on these billboards which, when translated into English, means as good as the white woman checking you out. Now, in Mexican, the phrase for the white woman is la guerra. And that's fine on the surface because it means variously blonde girl or white girl. But in Mexico, it's a somewhat versatile phrase that's also used as a derogatory idiom. The various meanings along the lines of the white B word. An analogy is the ever charming Jewish word, shiksa, which basically means a Gentile woman or girl. But Jews use it as an intense derogatory, meaning filthy woman or loathsome woman or a taboo woman. Now, just as Jews use the basically benign word shiksa as a vile insult, so Mexicans use the phrase la guerra as an insult. Now, James, the Mexican phrase for the black woman is la negrita, right? La negrita.
Right.
Would Budweiser pay for billboards that use the phrase la negrita? I don't think so. By the way, James, the same year that Budweiser paid for those offensive billboards, the company was awarded a title by a magazine, and the title was a Best Diversity Company. And Tim Farrell, who's the vice president of corporate human resources, he said, quote, Anheuser-Busch is proud to be recognized once again for our efforts to promote a culture of inclusion at our company. Well, Mr. Farrell, excluding white people from your sponsored events and buying billboards that demean white women does not indicate a culture of inclusion. Now, James, it's clear what Budweiser thinks of white people, and what they think of us is not very good.
So, well, and it, of course, it's not that, just.
Sorry,
I was going to say, Winston. Of course, it's not just Budweiser. This trend is taking corporate advertising by storm. We've seen it with Cheerios. We've seen it with, well, it's so numerous the examples we could draw from that it's hard to even recall them. But we have posted at least a dozen of these over the course of the last couple of years, similar to what we've seen with this stunt from Budweiser at the, you know, giving the beers to you if you spoke Spanish and not English. It's becoming something that is all too familiar. And of course, you asked if they would have put another term on a billboard. And the answer is no. I think it was Voltaire who said, you know, you know who's in charge of a country by asking yourself who it is you cannot criticize or mock. And the world just keeps spinning. And whites, you know, if this had been done inversely, a Mexican advocacy group would have raised the seventh level of hell. White groups don't do it because outside of this show, they don't have a voice. But we're talking about it tonight. We'll talk about it more right after this.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day. If we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Okay, folks, before that last break, we were talking about the free beer for Latino Heritage promotion in which gringos were the butt of the joke there. They didn't speak Spanish. I mean, God forbid a naturalized citizen in an English-speaking country not being able to get the free beer because they don't speak an alien language. But, you know, it's all funny. And this is a trend in corporate advertising, of course. It's not to say that you don't find white people in commercials anymore. I mean, you know, obviously you do. But when there's a racial animus involved, whites are always the stooges. And I know you had a couple of more comments about that, Winston, before we go on to the next topic for conversation this hour.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying before the break, it's clear what Budweiser thinks of white people, and what they think of us is not very good. So, folks, I recommend you just stop buying that impotent swill. It's made from rice, for crying out loud. I encourage you to try beers from microbreweries and other brands. There are some excellent, outstanding brews out there, and one of them is bound to satisfy you in ways that Budweiser's fizzy, urine-colored mung doesn't. Also, you might think about giving up on Sam Adams. They pulled their support for the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade because the event organizers refused to let sodomites march as sodomites. You know, they're trying to keep it a family event. And they didn't want children to see people walking down the streets in Boston dressed in fetish gear and dressed outrageously. You know, we got Mardi Gras for that, but the St. Patrick's Day, no.
Well, Winston, why don't you tell us how you really feel about Budweiser?
I never liked it to begin with. I drink my favorite beer is one. Well, I can't say the name. It's got kind of a bad name. Arrogant. Well, just look up beer that starts with the word arrogant, and it's very good.
Keeping it family-friendly, as always. And we have an eclectic taste in beer amongst our staff. I know Bill Rowland would lay out a plethora of beers I'd never once before heard as his favorites. But anyway, I got to get to this one, Winston. This is just more political correctness run amok. It is sick. It's just sick. I mean, as if the completely media-manufactured controversy over the Washington Redskins mascot wasn't bad enough, now they're going after the Cleveland Indians. Yes, the Cleveland Indians. Indians are mad that the Cleveland baseball team are the Cleveland Indians. Now, Redskins was supposed to be the R word for Indians as the N word is for blacks. That's what they're trying to make it into. But why be upset with the Cleveland Indians? Well, because political correctness is a terminal disease. Here it is. And I'm going to read this first sentence twice so you don't think that I misread something, folks. And I'm using CBSSports.com as my resource here. I'm going to read it verbatim. We're going to call them Native Americans in this case because that's a politically correct term, even though they weren't the first people on this continent. And even though they didn't consider themselves to be Americans, they considered themselves to be Cherokee or Choctaw or whatever. Anyway, we can't let the facts get in the way of the way this is reported. So I'm going to read it verbatim. A Native American group is planning to file a $9 billion federal lawsuit against the Cleveland Indians because of their offensive Chief Wahoo logo, according to CBS Cleveland. A $9 billion federal lawsuit because they think that the mascot for the Cleveland Indians is offensive. So that means, in other words, that a couple of American Indians got together and decided that they were offended by this mascot. And then they had to figure out how offended they were. And somehow, they were offended to the tune of $9 billion. They weren't quite offended $10 billion worth, but certainly they were more offended than $8 billion could satisfy. So $9 billion, Winston. Robert Roche, he's the director of the American Indian Education Center, which is pretty funny, I guess, considering their level of advancement at the time of the European arrival, is planning to file a federal lawsuit against the Cleveland Indians organization. He's the leader of the group People Not Mascots. And he says, of course, that the Cleveland Indians are racist. We're going to be asking for $9 billion, and we're basing it on hundreds of years of disparity, racism, exploitation, and profiteering. We're not mascots. My children are not mascots. We are people. And I wish this was only a sick joke, Winston, but chronic malcontents like this know that they can cash in on stunts like this by pretending to be aggrieved. I mean, what else can you say about it? I'll let you have a stab.
I'm with you on this, James. It's just getting ridiculous, the ease with which people are offended. Are these people's sensitivities made of cotton or silk? Or what is it that makes them so easily offended? These are the people who fought at Little Bighorn, right? These are the people who fought, you know, bravely against the federal government taking their lands. Yeah, they lost, but it was just superior firepower. But look, James, instead of going after these mascots and logos and suing these teams, these organizations for gazillions of dollars, why don't they work with these organizations and try to come up with a logo that is not offensive? You know, have some of their own people draw some up and submit those. Besides, what are they going to do with $9 billion? How many casinos can you build with that, you know?
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I guess they're either too dense or just don't care to recognize the fact that it's supposed to be meant as a token of respect that you name your organization after a certain group of people, or that the Redskins, I mean, that is meant as a symbol of honor. I mean, that these teams are naming their organizations after these people. I would be honored if you know, the Clevelands wanted to be the Cleveland Cesspoolians. I wouldn't sue them for that. Even if they used Eddie's picture as a mascot.
You know, James, with the Aboriginal American community in this country, they have so many problems, so many serious issues, drug abuse, alcoholism, education, just general decline in their culture. And their chosen issue is a picture on a baseball uniform. Can't they focus their energies on feeding their people and housing their people?
Well, I can't really believe... I can't really believe that they really are offended. I mean, like you said, I mean, if there's an ounce of pride in them, this wouldn't offend them. I mean, this is, you know, girlish behavior this is like a child not getting to play with this toy, and they're pouting and they're just throwing a fit. They can't really be offended. I mean, they just want to cash in, and they believe that they have a chance to not get maybe $9 billion, but X amount of money in some sort of an out-of-court settlement because they claim that the Cleveland Indians are racist. And all you got to do is just say the R word and people will pay out. It's like an ATM.
That's exactly the way you look at it, James. They see an organization with very deep pockets and fat bank accounts, and you know, they want a little piece of that, or they want a big piece of it. This is extortion, pure and simple. It's just plain old extortion.
Cleveland should be
mad as hell.
Well, what can they say? I mean, if they defend it, they're going to get shadowed. You know, who's going to go on a talk radio show in Cleveland and defend it and call these people out for what they are without fear of being called the R word themselves? I guess they can maybe do it anonymously and on message boards. But if you've ever noticed, Winston, if there's ever an issue that we may talk about here on the political cesspool and you read about it and there's a message board or a comment section after the article, I mean, we take the comment section 9-1. I don't care what the issue is.
Well, that's true, James. excuse me, I got a dry throat tonight. these people, they are honestly, I can't believe they're offended either. It's getting to the point to where, Cleveland, defend your baseball team. Yes, they're going to call you racist. They're calling you racist now. Nothing you're going to say or do is going to make it any worse. They're going to call you racist.
I mean,
just let it fall off your back like the water off the duck's back. And defend your team. These are people from out of state and
got to take a break, Winston. Got to take a break, but we'll come up and finish this up right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I was just reflecting on the irony of us trying to defend the Cleveland Indians mascot. I mean, you know, here we are, obviously equal rights for all, special privileges for none, but we are a pro-white show, and we're trying to fight to keep the Cleveland Indians mascot in business. Why would that be, Winston? I was trying to make sense of that. I mean, I really don't care if they keep it or change it. Is it just the fact that to see this level of political correctness to reach this terminal stage, I'm somewhat offended, or what is it?
That's exactly what it is, James. People are offended by this. I mean, we're offended by it, and I'm sure a good majority of our listeners will be offended by it, because it's just plain old stupid, and it's Greek. You know, 9 billion wampum, for crying out loud. That's a lot.
I think you might have just nailed it. I mean, it's just so stupid, and stupidity to an extent frustrates me. It's annoying. It's obnoxious. And this is what it is. But I do want to say one more thing before we go to the next topic. I like to bring this point up because you're not going to hear this said anywhere else but on the political cesspool. But anytime a story pertaining to American Indians comes up, I want to note, as we have done before, that whites are constantly attacked for, quote unquote, taking America from the Indians and daring to build a civilization on a land once occupied by hundreds of tribes of quarreling squatters. And that's what they were. I mean, there wasn't some environmentalist utopia over here, people living off the land and working in harmony with one another. It was hundreds, thousands even, of tribes that were constantly at war with each other. They didn't respect each other's cultural diversity. And the only reason they lived with the land is because they didn't have the intellectual capacity to live any better. That's why they lived in teepees and not buildings. That's why they built villages instead of cities. That's why you don't see a cathedral like you would in medieval Europe in the Americas. They couldn't do it. Not because they loved the land so much. I mean, they probably didn't have any concept of deforestation or, you know, cultivating livestock and things like that. And that stuff that they had to teach the Americans to plant corn. I really hope nobody believes that. I mean, you're talking about people who circumnavigated the globe. They didn't know how to plant corn. They didn't have gardens in Europe. I mean, come on. But as someone recently shared with me, I think the best reply about the America, we stole America from the Indians, has to include the fact that, as I just mentioned, Indians conquered each other for territory before Europeans arrived. And what we did was only what humans had done for millennia all over the world. And you can reinforce that position by contrasting what white Christians did with their vanquished enemies with what the Indians did when they conquered another tribe. There are no mound builders left. There were no mound builders left. That culture was gone by the time white man got here. The Cherokees and Creeks simply exterminated them. They genocided them. The Indians didn't create reservations or casinos for conquered people, for the people they conquered, to enable them to survive and maintain their languages and religions and so on. Only white Christians did this. And since all the Indian tribes in existence conquered and exterminated some other people, if we are to blame people like our ancestors for conquering the Indians, then shouldn't the guilt clock start not when we arrived, but earlier on? And if it does, then the racist, genocidal, xenophobic Cherokees got what they deserved, right, Winston? If we're being consistent here.
Well, James, when it comes to political correctness, there is no such thing as consistency except consistent hatred of white people. The question I have, James, is where are the lawsuits against sports teams going to stop? Are atheists going to start suing like Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Angels or San Diego Padres?
When does it stop? I mean, and then, you know, if they get the whim that, okay, well, the Portland Trailblazers, for instance, that's a racist name because the people who blazed the Oregon Trail were white. You know, Patriots, the New England Patriots, who were the original Patriots that fought the American Revolution? Well, most of them, 99.9% were white. I mean, isn't that a racist organization? I mean, it stops. There is no way to know when it could stop because one example of political correctness like this is no more or less egregious than the next flagrant example that we'll come up with, and we will come up with one. But speaking of flagrancy, Winston, I've got this story that we want to cover tonight, and I laugh because, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Life is depressingly starting to resemble a Farrelly Brothers comedy, minus the intention of humor. We've got a picture of this Franken family on the website. I don't know any other way to describe it. But a woman's father, now try to keep with me here, a woman's father and her husband have both now become women. So this woman had her father who went through gender reassignment. He decided he was a woman and went through all of the surgeries necessary to try to show that. Then she gets married, and after a little bit of time in her marriage, her husband believes he too is a woman. So now her father and her husband are both women. This is the story. They say every woman marries a man like her father. But for Leland Perry, that proved particularly true. And you see that, by the way, they're writing this as if it's great, it's funny, it's cool, it's hip, it's trendy, it's edgy. Because her dad and her husband have both had sex change operations. Leland was 15 when her stepfather confessed he liked cross-dressing. 3 years later, the ex-sailor started living as a woman, taking hormones and calling himself Helen. Supportive Leland welcomed the change, pleased her dad was no longer living a lie. But months later, she was stunned when her fiancé, Christopher Parent, revealed he also was a woman, or wanted to live as one. In a three-hour heart-to-heart with Leland's stepfather, 22-year-old Christopher came to terms with his feelings. Now Christopher, called Chi-Chi by the family, and Helen, formerly known as whatever, Stephen, I guess, are both planning to finish their gender reassignment surgeries. But before having the operation, Leland and Chi-Chi decided to marry. They tied the knot at a ceremony in France and are expecting their first child in November. So, Winston, first of all, we see how this story is written as if it's a great thing. And they just write it as a matter of fact that there could be nothing possibly detrimental to these decisions that are being made. And my question to you is, how much more disgusting and depraved can progress become?
Well, you don't have to look very far to see how disgusting it is. Just look at the picture. These people are ugly as sin, for crying out loud. They are ugly. What do they think they're going to... My gosh. People, go to the website and look at these creatures. There is nothing normal about this, folks. Really, words fail me. I can think of a few things more bizarre, more disgusting. As you said, James, they're acting like the reporters are acting like this is a great thing. It is not. What good is this? What is the purpose of this? There is no good in this whatsoever, and it's a slippery slope as well. We see what's happening with the wholesale acceptance of the sodomite lifestyle and so-called gay marriage. And we see how that is that sliding into other weird things.
Well, you know, again, though, not that I expect anything more from the media than just glowing celebration and this being written as a feel-good story. I expect nothing else. But if you have an opinion other than that, you are at risk of coming under fire at work if it becomes publicly known. You better not speak out about it. If you're not completely on board or a card-carrying member of the support group of the regime, you had better not mention. And you'd better not mention that this is not going to be a healthy, happy ending for this family. You know, we'll never hear a follow-up story about what happens to this family when it all falls apart, and it will fall apart, and this will be a miserable existence for that child that they're bringing in under these circumstances. It's inevitable. But, you know, again, you won't hear a follow-up story after all the dominoes fall, will you, Winston?
Well, this is going to be bad for that girl anyhow. She is going to have to endure some scorn. She is going to have to be constantly hypersensitive, and she's going to turn into a whiner. At every corner, she's going to meet someone who will say something that she will take as insulting, and she will run with it.
She'll go to her creature parents, whatever they're called now, and they will sue. So I just wonder if these people consider that, if they factor that into their decision.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, I don't hate these people. I don't wish them harm. But I think, the moral justification and responsibility to condemn this behavior. This goes back to the culture of death we were talking about. This father of hers, how many more children is he going to have now that he lopped off his reproductive organ? I mean, this is a culture of death. This is something that should be scorned. It should be condemned. We don't hate the people participating in it, per se, but they're not going to be invited to dinner either, and we're going to take a break.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, let me just say this. I don't want to ever hear about a political cesspool fan getting gender reassignment. I don't think I have to worry about that with the good people that make up our audience, but just so you know. And I want to say this, too. Circling back very quickly to the whole Indian story and the Cleveland Indians, I actually have a fair degree of respect for the tribes that were here in terms of I thought it was fascinating to read about them and learn about them. When I was a kid, I couldn't get enough of it. You know, just people that lived that way. I thought was interesting. And I bought a lot of books when I was growing up about different Indian tribes and their way of life. Now, make no mistake about it, I don't put that culture, I don't believe that it is at all comparable with ours. You know, there's a Indian mound site in Jackson, Tennessee called Pinson Mounds. And there's Indian mounds there. But that was the zenith of their civilization. There's nothing left here that stands as a testament to their civilization. It's cool to go see the Indian mounds, but stacking dirt doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not on par with what Europeans were doing. Now, that being said, I don't want ill will to fall on anyone, no matter how advanced they are. But let's remember that it wasn't peace-loving Indians that just welcomed the settlers with open arms, as we so often hear. It wasn't the case at all. You know, read the stories about the, you know, Jamestown and Roanoke. I mean, they, you know, they tried to kill the colonist, and the colonists fought back, and the weaker animal lost, and that's all there is to that. Well, Winston, I got another story here for us. Another example of special privileges for minorities. Now, equal rights before the law and before God, I'm all for that. Special privileges for none, well, that's not how things work in this country. In America, being a minority can get you to places that would otherwise be reserved for qualified applicants or candidates. And this is about a black woman who failed her physical, or not her physical, but her physical fitness test to be a fireman for the Fire Department of New York. New York Fire Department. She walked through her running tests, so says the New York Post, and got winded climbing stairs. Yet a physically unfit Proby was still allowed out in the field like a normal graduate. She's literally the most pathetic specimen of physical fitness I've ever seen, fumed an academy classmate of this woman who's at 39 years of age, was given a uniform and light duty assignment, even though she did not graduate on June 2nd with the other 286 cadets. So basically, Winston, she couldn't run a mile in 8 minutes. I think I ran a mile in 8 minutes when I was in first grade. I mean, that's, you know, that's basically a jog. And there, you know, she couldn't climb stairs. She's going to be a fireman. She wants to be a fireman, but she can't pass even the most basic tests. It's just, I mean, and you see it with soldiers too. I mean, first of all, I have a problem with women being soldiers and cops and things traditionally reserved and that should be reserved for males. But at the same time, I mean, a part of me wants to say, let the best person get the job, whoever can do the job the best. But in this case, she's neither. But she still got on. She didn't graduate, but she still got on. She still got a uniform. She still got a job. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is the days have long since passed when excellence and merit were used as standards of measurement. You can take it away, Winston.
Oh, okay. Well, James, apparently the FDNY prefers diversity over public safety. You know, every week there are similar stories like this. Now, this woman is filling a slot that would otherwise, indeed should otherwise, be filled by a strong, healthy man. And the fact is, she's a beneficiary of black privilege. James, this woman is 39 years old. And how long does the New York Fire Department think she's going to last? By the time she gets out in the field, by the time she's actually hauling hoses and upstairs and climbing ladders and trying to drag hurt people out of burning buildings, she's going to be in worse shape. She is 39 years old, and she claims she's injured. Look, this woman is a disability claim waiting to be filed, either that or a harassment claim. James, I mentioned earlier that that every week there are similar stories like this, and the U.S. military is a prime example. Now, the beginning of July, the U.S. Navy triumphantly announced that they had promoted a woman named Michelle Howard to admiral. making her the first female four-star officer in the Navy's history. Now, they go on and say that you know, her historic career is taking the next fifth day, and of course she was paraded out as this triumph of diversity and all that. But I work with a man who was in the Navy with this woman, right? And he's a black guy, and he told me that she was chosen somehow to be the first everything. She was the first black woman to graduate from the Naval Academy. She was the first black woman to command a ship, and she was just picked to be the first black female for just about everything. And he said there was no more incompetent officer that he'd ever met. And this is a black guy. He's a naval officer. He worked with this woman closely. He was on her ship. So these quota hires, these diversity affirmative action advancements, they're bad. This woman, this wants to be a firefighter. She will not be able to do the job. That's all there is to it. And not only will she not be able to do the job, she is going to sue the city for some reason. She'll get hurt, or she'll say she got hurt, or she'll claim she was harassed. This woman is a bad hire, and yet they're keeping her on for one reason only, and that's because she's black.
Winston, and that she's a woman in this case, and both of those go together. And let me say, in terms of hiring now, especially for a city or state position like this, but let me say this, and we talk about this when these instances come up too, and it's something that I always like to make clear. You know, we're hardly engaging in women bashing here by pointing out a fact of science that women are not as strong as men physically. And when you're in a physically strenuous position, such as being a fireman, where you may have to lift people, or a soldier or anything like that, those are not positions that are well suited for the fairer sex. And I celebrate women. I love women. I try to protect women. I put women on a pedestal. I mean, where would we be without women? You know, we should have more respect. They say that this is progress, you know, to put women in positions like this. Well, it's not. To put them in positions where their life will be in danger, I want to protect women. And, you know, but try, you know, again, that too goes over like a lead balloon. It just falls on deaf ears because it's just too much common sense for the current regime to be able to handle. It's just sick. Women should not be in these positions. We should have more respect for the people whose wombs carry our future than to put them in situations that put them in harm's way. And I don't know any other way to say it. Winston, final word to you.
Well, James, this goes back to the problem of women in the military. You know, women should not be doing these things. They just shouldn't. It's unsafe. It's unfair to them to put them in positions that they cannot fulfill. There are other practicalities, James. Women in these kinds of positions, when they get hurt, what do men do? They stop what they're doing to go help the women. And
that's right.
That's just the vestige of the chivalry that has been inculcated into our DNA. But this is a bad idea all around. And besides, James, going back to the women in the military thing, any country that sends its women and girls to fight battles really doesn't deserve to be a country.
No, I've said that before, too. I think you're exactly right. And I think I said that the last time a story of a similar nature came up. I mean, what kind of a barbaric civilization would do that? I mean, that is so far the opposite of progress. It's the exact negative image of progress, that you would send women in to fight your battles. That is degenerate and sick and loathsome.
It's shameful.
It is. It is. I mean, it just absolutely is. And unfortunately, the media has so much power over shaping the, you know, mile wide and inch deep opinions of people that they think that this is a good thing. I mean, they haven't thought about it themselves, but they saw Dan Rather say it was a good thing, or they saw the media celebrate women in the military, or homosexual women in the military, lesbian admirals in the Navy, and all that stuff that we've covered here. And, well, they presented it as if it was great. So it's got to be great, right? I mean, you know, I'm not talking about people that have a basic cursory knowledge of how things work in real life, or certainly people and our audience, who are very advanced in their understanding of government and everything else. But I mean, a lot of people, not the majority certainly, but more than there should be, are okay with this, or at least not offended by it enough to speak out. And that's everybody's responsibility, to at least speak out. Winston, thank you so much tonight for coming on. It has been an honor to work with you tonight, as always.
My pleasure, James. Look forward to next week.
You got it, my friend. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.